Insperity presents the Small Business Advocate Show with Jim Blasingame. This is a copyrighted production of Small Business Network, Inc., all rights reserved.
Yep, he's done it again, folks.
Oh, no, not again. Oh, my. Oh, my. Oh, my goodness gracious.
Named to Talkers Magazine's Heavy 100 for the third year in a row.
It's not the first time. It won't be the last.
He's Jim Blasingame, the Small Business Advocate.
Welcome back. It's 34 after the hour. Thank you very much for hanging around with me today. If you just tuned in, welcome aboard. It's my pleasure to have you here. RKZ and Cuddy is our guest. He is a longtime member of our Brain Trust. He's the co-author of Built on Trust, a book that you've heard me speak of many times before, a book that I reference, the content of which book I reference many times in my speeches. I am totally dedicated to Arkie's concept of trust. I love talking about the differences between trust in the marketplace and maybe the classic definition of trust. Arkie C. and Cuddy, welcome back to the show.
Well, thank you, Jim. My pleasure.
It's good to have you back. And by the way, that's Dr. Arkie C. and Cuddy. Arkie, one of the things I did recently in a speech, actually a couple of speeches, when I used your book as a reference with obnoxious attribution, I might add.
Well, thank you.
Over the top, out of control attribution.
Yeah.
I was defining the difference between trust in the classic sense and trust in the marketplace. What I was pointing out to them was that, you know, one kind of trust, the classic way you think of trust is where I come to your home and you trust me not to steal your silverware.
Right.
And or you and I are driving down the road meeting one another in a car, whether we know each other or not, and I trust you to stay on your side, you trust me to stay on my side.
Yes.
Those are kinds of trust.
Yes.
But
those
but
are
trust
assumptions, yes.
Exactly. Maybe presumptions, right?
Yes, right.
But trust in the marketplace is a little more involved than that, and because it's a little more long. Trust in the marketplace is more of a about the relationship than it is about a moment, isn't it?
Yes, it does have that aspect that you have when you see the person come into your door. You don't necessarily know him, but he's in the utilities company uniform, you know, and you have this emotional feeling, oh, it's going to be okay, or you just don't think about it at all. So there is an emotional part to trust in the marketplace. I would call it confidence or the absence of worry and mm-hmm. so forth. But then there's also this statistical part, and the statistical part is what's important. That means that people do what they say they're going to do. They don't say yes and mean maybe. And also in your company, it means that you close your interactions. I mean, when you discuss something, you're going to make that actionable one way or another, even if the action is to think about it more and talk about it next week. And you're going to close that interaction. In some way, that action is going to be who's going to do what, by when, and how are they going to be accountable. And so you have a way of keeping track, not necessarily in writing every time, but just generally. So, yes, it's got the emotional part, but it's also got the statistical part. And believe me, your customers are counting, and your employees are counting, and those reporting to you are counting in their own way, and this builds up over time.
You know, one of my mentors taught me one time about you were talking about customers counting.
Yes.
He taught me this about making a promise to customers.
Yes.
He said, never say it'll be here in a week or two.
Yes.
Because they never hear or two.
Yes.
And 100% of the time, they will call you in 1 week and say, where's my stuff?
Yeah. And
so if you think it's going to be a week or two, say it'll be here in 2 weeks.
That's right. I like that because it's nice to you want to give them a deadline and then surprise them pleasantly, not unpleasantly.
It's called under promise and over deliver.
Yes, And that's very important. And it's just as important with your employees, those reporting to you. You know, if you want to have an agile, responsive company, you know, a company that really responds to the marketplace, then you have to be able to catch mistakes, for instance, just as an example, within your company. Now, whenever there's a mistake made in your company, if you're waiting for your customer to tell you about that, you're too late.
Mm-hmm.
Somebody always knows about that mistake. Way before there's any kind of internal measurement, way before the action plan has slipped, somebody knows about that. So if you want to be a leader in your marketplace, you've got to be a leader on your team. That means that everybody in the team is accountable. You don't have to be the cop. People can surface these issues immediately.
Hold on to that thought, Arkie C. and Cuddy. I'm Jim Blassingame, the Small Business Advocate. Arkie and I will be back. More on trust, maybe even a little bit on ethics, right after these messages. What do those two things have to do with each other? We'll get Arkie to help us with that. Stay with us. 22. Welcome back. It's 17 till. I'm Jim Blassingame, the Small Business Advocate, and my websites are smallbusinessadvocate.com. That's the flagship. That's the almost 10-year-old website where you can find the show, and live replay, thousands of archives of these past shows that we've done that are available to you through the links from the Brain Trust members, through the different categories. We've got about 30 plus categories, different things that you can look up and find some interview, something that we've done in the past that will help you with your small business. And also, don't forget to subscribe to my free newsletter. Check out our blog, lots of other stuff there. And also, don't forget our new website, which is askjim.biz, the knowledge base for small business. And I encourage you to use all those. No barrier to entry. All of the things we have, if you can get there, we'll let you have it. Arkie C. and Cuddy is our guest, folks. We're talking about trust. And, Arkie, I want to blend trust into ethics a little bit. Can you help us with that?
I think so. I think of when I think of ethics, I start with integrity. I start with integrity in mathematics is a divisible number. It's a whole number. And so when I think about integrity of the individual, let's say leader in a small business, I think, does that person show to the world, communicate to the world what's inside? You know, to what degree is there a connection or a disconnection with what's inside? So if there's a feeling there or a communication a person would like to make, do they make that communication, et cetera? So in other words, are you viewed by those reporting to you in the same way that you feel inside? Are you exhibiting your values? So now the word values gets us to ethics, because values...
Can I ask, let me stop you for a second,
yeah,
if you don't mind. Can we say that in the chicken or egg theory, which comes first? Integrity comes first, and then trust.
Yes, I believe so.
Do you know who Albert Camus is, the great French Nobel laureate? I love what he said about integrity, ladies and gentlemen. You've heard me say this 1,000 times before, but I love saying it. Arkie, he said, integrity has no need of rules.
Well, there you go.
Isn't that beautiful?
There you go.
Integrity first, ladies and gentlemen, then trust.
And
integrity doesn't have to be some mountaintop experience, some grand gesture that you've made. It could just be as simple as a teeny tiny little character test that you take and pass.
That's right. Just like today, you could do it today. If you have a feeling, you know, that there's something you'd like to tell a coworker, in a kind, diplomatic way, but that would help, help your organization or help his or her organization, make that communication and make it in a diplomatic way. In other words, be who you think you are. Live out your values. And you're right. Those, you need no rules for that. So then once you're doing that, you're able to express this is called ethics then, you're able to express this to the world. Now, every major religion or every major philosophy in the world, even if you're not religious, just concentrate on the philosophy, has some form of the golden rule in it somewhere. You know, do unto others as you would have them do unto you. You don't ever have to walk into a place of worship in order to understand what that means. And I feel that that is part of every major philosophy because it works. And because it is an expression of ethics. So I think that once you have your integrity intact, and of course you're always going to slip, everybody does, and you're able to bring it back into balance, and then you're able to treat your customers the way you would like to be treated, then you are able to be more ethical. And at that point, you're well down the road of trust, because trust then is how they perceive you. And you want to be trusted, but you want to be authentically trusted. You don't want to fool people and have them trust the false notion. And so that's why we have to start with integrity.
There's another saying that I like to talk about that it's in one of my books, and it's a quote from Socrates a couple thousand years ago. He said, "The shortest and surest way to live with honor in the world is to be in reality what you appear to be."
Yes. And those are two great sayings, Jim. And that really is what integrity is, and the way you express that to the world is your ethics.
And it's not just the thing about the marketplace, Archie. Now I'm going to get over into the invisible hand, Adam Smith's invisible hand, where we're all operating in our own self-interest. In the marketplace, it's not only the right thing to do, it's a good it's a best practice, isn't it? I mean, it's good business.
Yes, that's right. It's what people are looking for. And people will become loyal customers. They'll come back to you because of this emotional tie, and because they get what they need when they need it. Or if not, you're on the phone right away with them, or you're face-to-face with them right away, making the correction and with the apology and getting it done, the next best way.
Well, and see, that's the key, and that's the further connection to the marketplace. Ladies and gentlemen, your prospects are seeking people to trust. They're seeking people they can be loyal to. They yearn for people they can trust and be loyal to.
Yes, and so you're providing that. When you provide, and it's funny, it's a little bit scarce, isn't it? I mean, people think, well, I like the old-fashioned way. And the old-fashioned way is that thing that people feel is scarce today. But, boy, if you can do that, what a competitive edge.
And in the 21st century, you might stand out. Stand by. 10 till Archie Ziancutti and I will be right back. I'm Jim Blasingame.
Is it the ball of dust underneath my doesn't mean that much to me. Take a chance on an empty life, just like all the rest.
Welcome back. It's 7 till. I'm Jim Blasingame, the Small Business Advocate. We're visiting with Archie Ziancutti, the author of Built on Trust. And Archie, tell us where the book's available and give us your website too, please.
Well, it's available in bookstores and at Amazon, and our website is learningcenter.net. And like your website, Jim, everything is free. We have lots of articles and information on there. You just download them.
No barrier to entry. The only thing we ask you to pay for is the books. That's because we have to pay for those too. Archie, the new book. You have anything you'd like to say about the new book?
Well, it's exciting because it's very detailed in terms of its practicality. The thrust of the book is to be able to end up with what we call a self-regulating team, so that you don't have to be the cop, so that the team itself has enough transparency and wants to be accountable. So you eliminate this us versus them, the non-management and management and product development development and marketing, so that the team becomes more self-regulated, and that so management doesn't have to micromanage, look over the shoulder, et cetera, et cetera. In fact, everybody becomes a leader, or those who, the critical mass, enough to get it done, becomes the leader. So it's a very exciting concept. And I think we make the case, or I think I make the case very well, that it can be done, and it's very practical, and that's what's exciting.
And we're looking forward to receiving that. That's going to be out probably in the next year, over the next year, isn't it?
Oh, yes. It's completed. We're looking for the right I'm looking for the right deal.
All right. One of the things that I think maybe prevents people from practicing trust is I do think that they oversimplify it a little bit. In other words, I think that they say, oh, you know what, I'm trustworthy. I'm a trustworthy person, and so I don't really have to contemplate it in the marketplace. And I think they don't realize that it's not just about being trustworthy. There actually are some characteristics of trust that have to be deployed.
Yes, you have to break through certain perceptions, certain prejudices that people start with. You know, we all have a history of mistrust, you know, times when we feel like we've been burned, you know. We don't remember all those times, but they form protective prejudices, mm-hmm. you know, so that we're less likely to trust somebody where there's some similarity, whether it's somebody in authority or somebody who asks us to do more or whatever, you know, or men or women or, you know, managers or non-managers, whatever it is, you know. We don't always remember those things, but there are barriers. So that you have to demonstrate, if you're a leader in a company, you have to model the behavior, you have to demonstrate the behavior, and you have to require the behavior. So you become what we call a meta manager as well as a manager. You're managing the business, but you're also managing these areas of trust perception and accountability perception. It doesn't take more time, but it takes more attention. You have to think about these things, but it's maybe as important as your job managing the business.
How do we get our people, how do we train people about trust? How do we get it installed? How do we develop it as a best practice?
The most important two questions to ask are: to what extent do we do what we say? To what extent do I, as a leader, or here's an example where I've made this mistake? To what extent do I say yes, but it looks like I really meant maybe? Now, that's a key question to get started and get those answers rolling in your team. Even if you just lead a team of three or four people, start that conversation. And the second question is, to what extent do we close our interactions? To what extent do we always end our interactions with an action? Who's going to do what by when? And hold each other accountable to that, again, in a diplomatic way. Those two, that's the way to get the thing rolling.
But the manager, the boss, the owner, the CEO, whoever is professing this as a way for the company to behave, must take the lead and be the example.
That's correct. He's the he or she is the example. It demonstrates it, lives it out, and only then requires it. Only after that track record has been established. And we're not talking years now. We're talking weeks.
And
weeks
isn't and that a great way to become a mentor?
Yes.
for people you're bringing along without actually saying, "I want to be your mentor."
Yeah, I mean, it's almost like being in a great psychological therapy to be in a small business, you know, because you really can sharpen your ethics, sharpen your integrity, and learn about the most important things in life, and while you're making money, while you're
Excellent.
Producing this great service.
Arkey, thank you for being here. Good job today, as always. It's always a pleasure to have you here.
My pleasure again, Jim. Thank you.
Arkey Cincotti, ladies and gentlemen, Built on Trust. Check it out. Got to go for this hour. I'm Jim Blassingame, the Small Business Advocate, and this program is for you.
Insperity presents the Small Business Advocate Show with Jim Blassingame. This is a copyrighted production of Small Business Network, Inc., intended for the private use of our audience. Except as otherwise provided by copyright law, all other copying, redistribution, or publication without prior written consent is prohibited. All rights reserved.